Hey everyone, this is Anthony Kent and this is Off the Wire. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about 10 things I learned while protecting an IT network for the DoD. So I reflected a little bit and thought about my time protecting the DoD network, and I came up with the top 10 items, and I'm going to cover those. And I'll say this though, they're in no particular order, but these are the top 10 items I think that you can take away from the DoD and apply to your network to help protect it. The first one, this is a pretty easy one, is everyone gets training. There are no exclusions. So your CEO, the board of directors, it doesn't matter who they are, everyone is getting end user training cybersecurity wise. So make sure that there are no exclusions and everyone's included in that, because it only takes one person to get your network hacked. So that was one thing with the DoD. It didn't matter if you were a CEO from a major company or a colonel or a general, you received cybersecurity training. So that's one thing. Just keep in mind, everyone needs to take it. There is no reason to not take it. The second item is patch everything. You know, I know there's a lot of folks out there where, you know, they're doing Windows patches and that's about it. You can't do that. Everything out there gets patched, whether it's your Wi-Fi access points, your routers and switches, your third-party software on your workstations, all your vendor servers, everything needs to get patched. There's no reason not to do it. Patching is a very long topic, and you know, we'll probably do a podcast on that specifically. But I would say focus on automating as much as you can, you know, and then do the rest of the stuff manual. But anyways, there is no reason not to patch a system. Every system needs to be patched. Third item is limit what applications are allowed on your network. So I don't think the DoD really has a policy on this, but how they do limit it is any application to run on the DoD network has to be certified and accredited or authorized. And to do that, it has to go through a lot of cybersecurity reviews, and that takes a lot of money and effort, and it takes some time. So, you know, if you got some person say, hey, I need Adobe Photoshop, you know, that would have to be certified and accredited first before they'd get to it. So in a certain way, that limits the amount of applications on the network. So, you know, the last one, if you're saying, how can I patch everything? I got too many things to patch. If you limit what's on your network, that will help. This is one thing that we did on our IT network is we removed Chrome. So we found that Microsoft Edge, now that it's Chromium based, actually does work on every single piece of software and stuff that we use. And so we just migrated everyone to it and eliminated Chrome. And the reason we did that is because Chrome is a pain to keep up to date. There's constantly critical vulnerabilities with Google Chrome. So we just removed it from the network. Now, not saying that they're not there with Edge, but trying to combat both of them was very difficult. So that was one thing we did, was just eliminated Microsoft or Google Chrome. So anyways, just limit what's on your network and that'll help you a long ways. The next item is do vulnerability scans. So you should be doing vulnerability scans all the time, and they have to be credentialed. I know with the DoD, if they are not credentialed scans, they don't count. They are worthless. I did a sample against a test system, and the highs and criticals for a credentialed scan, it found 270 findings that were high and critical on this test bed system. And I did a non-credentialed scans and it only found 10. So with this, I'll say a lot of people, they're paying third-party security assessors to do vulnerability scannings for their network. It's not going to cut it. I've not heard of any of them doing credentialed scans. And if they're not, you know, is it better than nothing? Yes. You know, and if you're not capable of getting the scans, but I really think every company or organization that has an IT network should be doing their own vulnerability scans. Am I saying that you shouldn't outsource it every once in a while, get someone else to look over your stuff? No, but you should be doing your own. And the main reason is because you're going to be doing credentialed scans. Without it, they are worthless. The next item is if you can't patch an item that's higher critical, you need to mitigate it. So that basically just means to reduce the risk. And so say for some reason you have a Windows 7 workstation run some proprietary software that won't work on anything else, and it's, you know, your organization depends on it. You know, you can't eliminate that risk. Now, I'll say this, I would find a way to eliminate that risk. I'm pretty sure. But anyways, I'm sure there's someone out there that's stuck, you know, with a older OS there because they're running something that won't run on something newer. And what I would say is, you know, harden that instance of Windows 7, you know, since it can't be patched. Don't allow it on the internet, you know, like let it only do what it has to do to operate. And so basically you're reducing the risk by mitigating it. So there are lots of other examples we could cover, but anyways, if you can't fix or eliminate a higher critical vulnerability, you need to mitigate it. Next is least privilege. And that means the same for your IT department. I'll go over a scenario. I did a inspection for a organization. It was a military base, and they had thousands and tens of thousands of users. And across that whole military installation, there were just basically the contractors were the administrators, but all the military units, they only had two power users across the whole military site. Out of tens of thousands of users, only two had power user. So not everyone needs to be a admin or a domain admin or a local admin. You need to practice least privilege. Matter of fact, we were just working with a vendor that I'm sure any electric co-op listener out there would have heard of this organization or this company. Anyways, we were rolling out, we were upgrading something that had AD integration, and they're like, okay, well, you need to enter an account that has access to your AD system. And I'm like, can it be a local or just a plain user? And they're like, no, it needs to have access. And I was like, are you sure that a regular user won't do it? And anyways, they kind of heed and hawed and, you know, didn't think it was going to work. And on top of that, we're like, well, we have to create a service account for this. And they're like, well, just, you know, use one of your accounts. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. We need to create a unique service account for this that has no rights to get this integration. Anyways, it took us a mere 2 minutes to do that. But I'm kind of wondering, you know, it felt like the individual that we were working with wasn't used to pushback and was used to just, you know, having some domain admin credentials entered and left there. So anyways, you know, don't, you know, the least privilege that goes with your department, you know, not everyone needs to be a domain admin. You don't need local admins. You know, you just need to practice least privilege across the board and question everything. These vendors out there, they don't necessarily know what is needed security wise, you know, especially you're working developers. You know, developers aren't security folks. They're not even IT administrators. They, you know, some of them are pretty smart, but, you know, I would question anything and always try to start with the least amount of privileges you can. All right. A big one with the DoD is everyone needs a security plus at a minimum. Now, I have not implemented this, but I think it is a good idea. So at our organization, you know, we have telecommunications network, sysadmin, we have GIS developer. Just thinking about it, really everyone needs to have that foundation of a security plus. So that's something that we have not implemented, but I do think that it's important for all IT staff. If they have a domain admin account, or, you know, if they're admin, they have admin accounts to other systems, they should, you know, basically have the knowledge, you know, for a security plus. So I'm not saying to force that, but I do think it would go a long ways for helping protect the co-op organizations or the local government organizations. So at a very minimum, just know that it is important for folks to be taking security training. The next, and this is one I had a hard time with. Matter of fact, my guys, they had to have a sit down with me, and that's keep your hardware lineup the same. So, you know, obviously I think people do this with servers and everything, you know, basically they'll have one type of server, one make and model, but with the workstations, the laptops and PCs, I am a very frugal person. I am one of the most frugal people you'll ever meet. Sometimes I've had issues where I couldn't book a flight because I couldn't fathom paying that much. I had someone else book a flight for me. It's just, I have a hard time spending money. So, you know, when I took over the department at the co-op I'm at now, I was going on Amazon and buying refurbs and open box buys and getting all different make some models of workstations, and there's a whole lot of other issues besides, you know, where they come from. Could they be preloaded? Now, granted, we were wiping everything that we got, you know, but could it had some kind of firmware or something like that done? Possibly. But the real issue is you need to keep the equipment the same. So one, you've got less different types of systems of patch, so it makes your patching a whole lot better, and you're just familiar with it. So the my guys, after the sit down, you know, they come up with a decision, and they're going with like Lenovo equipment for laptops and Dell for desktops. So, but we're getting, you know, we're trying to slim it down to where we only got a couple makes and models. That way, we don't have to patch all these different systems and stuff like that. So they're trying to keep that the same the best they can. And that kind of goes with limit the amount of applications that are allowed. You want to limit the amount of hardware you have as well. The next item is, this will be an acronym for you, is STIGs. STIGs are Security Technical Implementation Guidelines. And we use those for everything. So if you had an Oracle database, if you had a Microsoft SQL database, you had Server 2020, or you had Windows 11, Windows 10, there were technical guidelines on how to harden any of those systems, anything out there, even if it's Adobe Pro. There was a way to there were STIGs out there to tell you how to harden those. Well, we don't have access to that. You know, that's a DoD product, but there's an equivalent, and it's the CISA benchmarks. So a CISA membership does cost a little bit. I think it's around, I might be off, but it's around $3,500 a year. And what that gives you, it gives you access to the CISA benchmarks, which basically tells you how to harden any application or server instance. If it's a Linux box, if it's Outlook or Exchange Server, or just anything, even with some cloud systems, they have guidelines on that. So I would highly recommend you looking into that. And it gives you the ability. So one, there's images, but it appears that they only offer those for like cloud instances right now. I might be wrong. We're still digging into that. But it has, you can apply some of these hardening items with group policies. You can use PowerShell scripts. And then also Intune, you can do built-ins with Intune and help harden your system. So if you got, you know, Server 2022 that you're rolling out, you know, before you install that third-party software or whatever vendor is going on that, go ahead and harden it with the CIS benchmarks, now, or the CISA benchmarks. I will say this, you can't just harden any system that's actively, you know, deployed, because it will harden it so much that it won't work. So, but it gives you a baseline, and there's different levels that you can do, but I would highly recommend getting that membership and looking at those benchmarks. And they've got some tools that are pretty cool. They help you kind of automate some of this. It'll help you scan your entire network and shows what's out there. But I would definitely, it's worth it just for the benchmarks, and they'll give you tools to help apply that. So our plan is, so, you know, when I got to the co-op on Matt, you know, we didn't have it, but one of our goals was to have hardened images, you know, as our baseline. And what we're going to do with Server 2022 is we're going to run, we don't have any instances of it yet, but what we're going to do is we're going to take these CISA benchmarks and run it, and we're going to build a hardened image that will function at our co-op. You know, can we apply everything? Probably not, but we can harden it quite a bit. So we're going to do that. And going forward, you know, we'll have that. We may work backwards a little bit, but we're kind of drawing a line in the sand saying, you know, from this point on, we're going to have hardened images. And another thing that it's good for is if you've got some new application that you're rolling out, or some new third party that they're putting a server on your network, how secure is that server? Do you know? Are you just taking their word for it? I definitely wouldn't take their word for it. One, I would 100% do a vulnerability scan against it. And two, I would run the CISA benchmarks against it. It'll give you an idea of how secure it is. You'd be surprised. And the last item is technically enforce policies. Don't think a paper policy is going to really help enforce everything. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, those policies are needed as well, but anything that you can technically enforce, you need to enforce. So just like password expirations, you know, you're going to make those passwords expire at a year mark, or make it a minimum of 15 characters. You're not going to just say, have a policy out there and hope that they do that. And that goes with everything. Any way that you can technically enforce a policy, you need to do that, because if there's an, if there's a chance that they can, you know, circumvent the paper policy, they're going to. So anyways, use group policies, other tools, you know, to help harden, you know, like Microsoft Edge, the security settings in the Edge, just any application, any item that you want to have a policy against, you know, use, technically enforce those policies. All right. I know that was a high level overview, but I think those are 10 items that everyone can apply to their network. If I had to pick a couple of top ones on that, I would say the vulnerability scans, having credential vulnerability scans, that would be my number one item. I kind of feel like the CISA benchmarks would be number two. And then if I had to pick a third one, I would say least privilege. And I don't know, I'm not really putting those in order, but the vulnerability scans, the CISA benchmarks, and the least privilege, like that's going to get your most bang for your buck. And they're also, you know, those are pretty hard items to implement. But the big thing is just the, you know, everyone thinks they've got a good patch management, but you know, if you're not doing credential scans, you have no idea what's getting patched, what's not. You have no idea what your vendors are patching and what they're not. And then also, you know, going to the CISA benchmarks, you know, we just discussed it, but you know, how do you know those vendors are actually hardening their systems? Are they even taking a shot at it? My guess is they're not. And especially just going with the last installation we did, you know, they were wanting us to use a domain admin to get AD integration. And that ties into the least privilege, the third one. I think that's the bigger thing. So, you know, and to touch on least privilege, one thing I kind of left out is, you know, so like a lot of us are using Office 365, you know, how many global admins do you really have to have? Is their user account also their global admin account? That's a no-no. That's not least privilege. But anyways, those are the three I would recommend of these 10. I think all 10, you'll get a lot of bang for your buck, but those are the top three if I had to pick them. All right, everyone, I appreciate your time. Hopefully you picked up a few items that you can take back to your organization and apply. Anyways, we'll see you next time on Off the Wire. Thank you. Bye.